Hey, good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Hello, hello. Welcome to Tuesday's program. Thanks for tuning in. Boy, the hits just keep coming, don't they? Hey, before I get into this Barack Obama and nuclear reactor stuff, I got an email from a guy who listens out west, and he said he's considering not listening anymore, certainly not subscribing. He's considering it because I'm too depressed or negative, or I'm going through a phase because of what I've been talking about the past few nights about withdrawing from the electoral system, since it is a rotting corpse. It is. Withdrawing from the system, let it collapse, because it surely will. Let the Republicans have what's left of it, and the rest of us, which would be the majority of us, can wait until an opportune moment arises, which will be immediately after Republicans take control, at which point then we declare independence and remove them forever from the political scene. I've been advocating that. I'll continue to advocate that. My position is that of a social democrat or a democratic socialist. Take your pick. They're interchangeable terms, although the latter usually makes Republicans, you know, wet their BVDs. But anyway, that position of democratic socialism is obviously and truly and righteously the answer to the situation that predatory capitalism has brought us to in this country. I make no apologies for that. I also make no apologies for what appears to be my really down negative attitude, which if you hear it as such, that's cool. I can't get inside your head with an eraser or with a megaphone or with anything. I mean, you're going to listen to what you want to listen to and hear it as you want to hear it. Parse it, separate it, tear it to pieces, put it back together. It's up to you. You know, frankly, it's your choice, whoever you are. My position on these issues is what I talk about at night. You know, I'm not Jesus's little brother like Glenn Beck. I'm not claiming to be the Messiah like Rush Limbaugh. I'm just a radio talk show host who has some pretty strong opinions based on an awful lot of time on the planet. And having observed and participated in an awful lot of changes, awful lot of disasters, I'm talking politics now, and so on and so forth. If what you hear on this program does turn you off, I understand you're wanting to leave. I would too. This is scary stuff. Not everybody can take what I talk about. It's very scary. You have to be extremely brave and courageous. You have to listen to this stuff and not wet your pants, is what I'm trying to say, and say, oh, it's too depressing. There is solution to all this, but I believe in creative destruction, which is one of the underpinnings, surprise, surprise, of predatory capitalism. Creative destruction, though, in the manner in which I mean it, is a kind of creative destruction like what I witnessed in Chicago before I left there. They had these, New York still has them, these high-rise slums. Back in the 50s and 60s, the idea was to isolate colored people, you know, Negro people, by building high-rise slums and then injecting all the welfare recipients, which, as we all know, is strictly Negro people, put them all into these huge high-rise slums and let them rot. Well, as it turned out, those high-rise slums became, well, high-rise slums. And the drug dealing and the murder and the child rape and so on and so forth, and the gang violence and the police violence, and it's just horrifying. You know, when you pack people into high-rise slums or into concentration camps, that sort of thing can happen. So the city of Chicago, in one of its smartest moves, decided to demolish all of those high-rise slums. And in place, they, when we left Chicago, were in the process of building mixed-use residences. apartments for low-income people, middle-income people, condos for the wealthy, so on and so forth. Beautiful views of the Chicago skyline. That's the kind of creative destruction of the political system I'm talking about. I have enough faith in myself and in most illiterate people in this country that allowing the withdrawing from the system until it collapses of its own dead weight is not a negative thing. As a matter of fact, it's a positive thing. It's a rebuilding thing. But in order to build those new apartments and high-rises in Chicago, they had to clear away all the garbage and the high-rise slums. And the way they did it was tell everybody to get out and then set the charges and blew it to kingdom come. Now, obviously, we can't, short of revolution in this country, armed revolution, which I don't think any of us want, except these crazy sons of bitches that weren't running around in their camo outfits. You know, the Patriot Movement and the teabaggers and which we're going to talk about a little bit later tonight. Nobody who's rational wants that. We had that, and it costs more lives in this country than all the other wars we've been involved in combined. So Americans killing Americans is not the way to go. I make jokes about when the lights go out, I want Rush Limbaugh and a handful of these people. That's a joke. For you right-wing dumbasses, that's called a joke. But if you want to take me literally, go ahead. I mean, that's okay. You could do that, too. But in order to build a system that makes sense, after 232 years and the recent Supreme Court ruling that says corporations, things that don't exist, in fact do exist, and they are guaranteed the same rights as people. If that's not goddamn insanity, then you define it for me. Okay, thank you. So, if you listen to this program and you get all weak in the knees and your head starts to hurt and you have to run for the bathroom, it probably would be better for you not to listen to this program. You understand what I'm saying? Because it gets scary. I know it gets scary. I understand. But this system is rotten to the core, beyond. It's rotten from the skin into the core and from the core out to the skin. It is just corrupt. The political system. It has been polluted by the worst virus ever to infect a population, and that's predatory capitalism, which is what we are now stuck with. And that predatory capitalism is about to get worse and worse and worse because the corporations that are the constructs of predatory capitalism now have, if not the right to vote, the right to influence whether or not you get to vote and for whom. So what I say is, if we're rational, we turn our backs, let it collapse, which is exactly what will happen when these thuggish Republicans who couldn't legislate their way out of a burning house, they don't know where they are. They don't know what planet they're on. They have this vague idea of somebody's out to get them. The socialist Barack Obama, who is as much of a capitalist as John D. Rockefeller, but they have been so traumatized by the Becks and the Hannitys and the O'Reillys, they can't think straight. Let them have it. And then it will collapse. We'll survive. Come on. God damn it. Have a little backbone. You'll survive. You know what to do to survive. Get real. Come on. Do it. But for God's sake, let's stop pretending that we have a system that's salvageable. It is not. You know it. I know it. Now, if you want to exist in the land of denial, then go ahead. Go ahead. Pretend. Well, if I just vote with Democratic, everything will be all right. We gave the Democrats a super goddamn majority, and they couldn't even pass health care. Huh? They couldn't even reform health insurance. Wake up. You can't remain absolutely willfully ignorant all of your life. Now wake up. Come on. Don't send me any more emails about, oh, I'm going to stop listening. You're so negative. If you can't take it, tune out. Jesus Christ, you've got a whole dial you can choose from. You don't have to listen to this program. But don't lay that on me. That is so weak-kneed. That is so cowardly. All right? It's just ridiculous. Grow up.
It's More Mike Malone.
Past the hour. So, the nuclear welfare industry has a new champion. Can you believe that? Barack Obama, what he did today? Wow. Man, this is the guy that we all voted, this capitalist, this right-winger. Holy Toledo. Unbelievable. So the new champion of nuclear power is Barack Obama. His announcement today of $8.3 billion in federal loan guarantees for two new reactors here in Georgia. Now, what does that mean? $8 billion in loan guarantees. That means you and I are going to take it in the neck. We're going to pay for this. Barack Obama made a decision today to commit, even though the bill authorizing this commitment was passed by Cheney and Bush. It just sat there for several years. It took someone like Barack Obama to come along and say, okay, time to move forward. Here's the money. Son of a bitch. This is unbelievable. The $8.5 billion right now, if it were used to stimulate the economy, you know, jobs, work on the infrastructure that is rotting. The whole infrastructure of this country is rotting. It's called deferred maintenance when you buy a house and you find out that the foundation is crumbling and the sewer system doesn't work and the electrical wiring is ready to set your house on fire because the dumb sons of bitches that owned it before, or the smart sons of bitches that owned it before, didn't do anything and left it up to the next buyer. That's what we're faced with here in the United States. The infrastructure of this country is rotting. We need to fix it. It would put hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people to work. I'm talking about roadbeds. I'm talking about highway repair. I'm talking about bridges. I'm talking about parks, state and federal parks. I'm talking about dams. I'm talking about school buildings. I'm talking about just on and on. But no, Barack Obama, capitalism's best new friend or new best friend, has decided to commit $8.5 billion of our money. I'm sorry, of the Federal Reserve's money to build these goddamn nuclear bombs not too far from where I live. See, all politics is local. The filthy son of a bitch that runs the Southern Company. Let me tell you about the Southern Company. It is the worst polluter in America. It pollutes everything. It provides acid rain. It destroys local environments. It destroys groundwater. It destroys the earth, the soil, the air we breathe. It is the worst polluter in the United States, the Southern Company. Aptly named, the Southern Company CEO, one David Ratcliffe, said today, "We are honored by the administration's confidence in our ability to build the nation's first new nuclear power plant in more than three decades. It's an important endorsement of the role of nuclear power must play in diversifying our nation's energy mix and helping to curb greenhouse gas emissions," end quote. You murderous, filthy son of a bitch. Let me ask you something, David. What are you going to do with the byproduct? And if it's a display of confidence in your ability to build the nation's first nuclear reactor, why has Wall Street abandoned you? Huh? They're not underwriting anything. Why is that? Well, part of it is the busted budgets, the huge cost overruns, the timetables that go on forever, and the fact that the byproduct of your nuclear power plant is a substance so toxic that it remains poisonous for billions of years. I'm sorry. Am I yelling? Yes. Yes, I am. So Barack Obama today fulfilled the promise that Dick Cheney and George Bush made. The Republicans in Congress, Cheney and Bush, authorized $18.5 billion in loan guarantees, but the Department of Energy never got any of the money out the door. Not to worry! Barack Obama is here. The great Black Hope. Yeehaw! There's an organization called Beyond Nuclear. They released a press release today. And when we come back from this break, I want to share it with you because it says a lot more, with a lot more erudition than I could possibly come up with. But who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thought that the nuclear power energy, which is a death industry, we're telling Iran that if they continue with theirs, we're going to sick the Israelis on them. And the president of the United States decides to authorize two new nuclear disaster holes right here in Georgia. And there's more coming. There's much more coming. Won't you love? Sing along, won't you come?
Coast to coast, the Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
25 before the hour. Man! The nuclear industry, the murder industry, the industry that is the one force on earth that can eliminate everything. It can destroy everything. The nuclear power industry. It is such a threat, nuclear power, that we and the Israelis are ready to bomb the bejesus out of Iran because they are doing the same thing, exactly the same thing that Barack Obama has now, as nuclear energy's best friend, has authorized. He is kicking in $8.5 billion worth of taxpayer money to pay for this. The fact is, here in Georgia, a couple of years ago, and Michael in Roswell reminds me of this, but I was going to get to this, Michael. A bill was passed by the Georgia legislature that says we ratepayers here in Georgia, those of us that get our electricity one way or the other from Georgia Power, that our bills are going to go up to pay for this in advance. Now, this is the year 2010. This nuclear energy power behemoth, will not be online possibly till the year 2020. I don't care what they say. Maybe 2025. So for the next 10 to 15 years, Americans are told, or I'm sorry, Georgians are told, well, you're going to pay for this. Well, wait, we didn't. Your legislature decided to do it, but there was no, we didn't have any hearings that I'm aware of. How did this happen? Son of a bitch. Well, I'm acting shocked. I don't know why. Beyond Nuclear is it's an anti-nuke organization. Its goal is to educate and activate the public about the connections between nuclear power and nuclear weapons and the need to abandon both to make sure we have a future. Beyond Nuclear advocates for an energy future that is sustainable, benign, and democratic. So obviously, they're a bunch of goddamn socialists, right? Huh? Don't listen to them. Although, what they say makes immense sense. Here's their press release for today. Beyond Nuclear today denounced President Obama's granting of a loan guarantee to Southern Nuclear Operating Company for the construction of two new atomic reactors at its Vogtle nuclear power plant site in Waynesboro, Georgia. Two new Westinghouse Toshiba Advanced Passive, that's AP1000, they're called AP1000 reactors, are proposed to plant Vogtle. President Obama's award comes despite an announcement by the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission last October of a major safety flaw with the AP1000 design. Jesus H. Christ. An NRC media release dated October 15, 2009, documents that the AP1000 shield building as currently designed is vulnerable to severe weather such as tornadoes and hurricanes and natural disasters like earthquakes. This raises the concern that the design is also vulnerable to terrorist attacks, such as intentionally crashing airliners. Thus, the shield building's intended protection of the reactor's primary radioactivity containment is questionable, as is its ability to provide radiation shielding during normal operations, as well as to support a large emergency cooling water supply tank. Kevin Camps of Beyond Nuclear said, quote, it is utterly irresponsible of President Obama to risk public safety and the environment by financing the incomplete and flawed AP1000 design at Vogtle and, worse still, at taxpayers' financial risk. Even if ultimately fixed, the AP1000's major design flaw risks delays in construction and cost overruns, the same problems that delivered death blows to scores of atomic reactors 3 decades ago. 30 years ago, when Obama was in high school! I wasn't. I was a goddamn adult 30 years ago. I know what happened. Somebody send Obama an email and say, listen, call Mike Malloy. He was there. He knows. He lives in Georgia. He wasn't in high school, Mr. President, like you were. Are you out of your... Oh, never mind. The congressional... Back to the memo. The press release from Beyond Nuclear. The Congressional Budget Office has predicted that over half of new reactor owners will default on their loan repayments. The federal nuclear loan guarantees would finance up to 80% of the total project cost for a new reactor. 80%! 80%! Cost estimates for certain proposed new reactors in the U.S. have already surpassed $10 billion. That's what it costs. That's the play figure. That's the toy number. That's the one that we're supposed to look at and go, oh, $10 billion? Well, yeah, let me see. That's not bad, $10 billion. The two new reactors at Vogtle are currently estimated by proponents to cost $14.5 billion. A figure expected by critics to significantly increase. Now, why do critics say this? Well, let me just give you just a very quick example. At Plant Vogtle, we already have 2 reactors that are operating there, 2 nuclear reactors. And, oh, we're paying through the ass for it, trust me. The original cost of these, and I remember when they built them, the original cost was predicted to run about $660 million. $660 million. The price tag ultimately went to $8.87 billion. 13-fold increase, or more than 1,000% cost overrun. So when these son of a bitches at Southern Company or any nuclear construction reactor company says, oh, we can do it for $8.5 billion. Stand up quick, because if you remain in a bend over position, it's gonna hurt. Man. Kevin Camps of Beyond Nuclear said, quote, making federal atomic reactor loan guarantees conditional, which is what Barack Obama has done, upon a Nuclear Regulatory Commission license won't protect U.S. taxpayers. The nuclear industry has a long history of defaulting on loans in the post-licensing period due to design flaws, construction mistakes, cost overruns, lengthy delays, and other problems that Obama and Energy Secretary Chu cannot foresee. Stumbling blocks which are not eliminated by NRC granting a construction and operating license, end quote. In the past, 21 atomic reactors were canceled during construction. 22 were canceled after receiving a license but before construction began. And one was canceled after construction had been completed. Not a very good track record. Obama's award of this $8.5 billion in taxpayer-backed loan guarantees to Southern Nuclear, the press release goes on, is intended to resurrect the nuclear power industry. After a 36-year hiatus in the building of new atomic reactors in the U.S., this loan guarantee is the first to be dispersed from an $18.5 billion atomic reactor loan guarantee fund appropriated by Congress and approved by President George W. Bush at Christmas 2007. The Nuclear Loan Guarantee Program was first authorized by the Energy Policy Act of 2005. Earlier this year, the Department of Energy's shortlist for nuclear loan guarantees was revealed by media reports to also include Constellation Energy, Électricité de France, which proposes a French Areva Evolutionary Power Reactor, or an EPR, at Calvert Cliffs, Maryland, NRG Energy and CPS Energy, which proposes a Toshiba Westinghouse Advanced Boiling Water Reactor at the South Texas Project nuclear plant near Bay City, Texas, and Scana Corporation and South Carolina Electric and Gas, which propose an AP1000 at the Summer Nuclear Power Plant in South Carolina. Nuclear safety regulators in France, Finland, and the UK have recently questioned the safety of the EPR design. A nearly 75% cost overrun and 3 years construction schedule delay have resulted from 3,000 documented design and construction flaws at an EPR being built at Olkiluoto, Finland. Safety flaws, incomplete design, skyrocketing costs, construction delays, loan guarantees, and when it finally goes online, if it goes online, a perfect target for, you know, terrorists. And if that never happens, what in the name of God are they going to do with the, you know, plutonium? Oh, Christ. Presidential candidate and governor of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney, was on an Air Canada flight from Vancouver to L.A. today, or yesterday. And he and his wife were returning from the Olympics. They were sitting in the economy section before takeoff. And Romney routine request to the passenger in front of him to put his seat in the upright position. And the guy got up. He's a Glenn Beck fan. He got up, and Romney's spokesman describes what happened. The passenger, quote, the passenger became physically violent. Governor Romney did not retaliate, but instead let the airline crew respond to the incident, end quote. The plane subsequently returned to the gate where the Mounties removed the passenger and his luggage. Romney was not injured. But this Glenn Beck viewer took a swing at Mitt Romney. Boy, I'll tell you, these Glenn Beck people, huh? Aren't they something? Did you read the big article today? Tea Party lights fuse for rebellion on the right. How many times Glenn Beck's name is mentioned in this lengthy front page story in the New York Times? Boy, I'll tell you something. I read the entire thing. Normally, I don't read articles in the Times that are that long because, unless they're kind of human-y interesty, you know. But this one about this psychotic teabag movement, son of a bitch, I cannot get my mind around what these people are talking about. These people who have been sucking at the federal boob for so long, and now they say that they're tired of the federal government. I mean, it's insane. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know how to describe it. There's a group called Friends of Liberty, Friends for Liberty or something, the Teabaggers. The militia movement is moving in. The Patriot movement, where were these cowardly, rancid sons of bitches when George Bush and Dick Cheney took the Constitution and used it for bathroom tissue? You phony bastards. Everyone, the only reason you're in this Patriot movement is because you don't like Negroes. Admit it. You racist pigs. Dick Cheney and George Bush and the Bush crime family took this country for a ride from which you morons were never going to recover. They got us into two wars. They've murdered millions. They've destroyed the Constitution. They've destroyed your savings. And you dumb bastards think Obama did this? Tea Party supporters are already singling out Republican candidates who they claim have aided and abetted what they call the slide to tyranny. Ooh, the slide to tyranny. At a recent meeting of the Sandpoint, Idaho Tea Party, Mrs. Pam Stout, who has now decided to be a Tea Partier, I guess she's going to give up her her federal welfare check. At a recent meeting, Mrs. Stout presided with brisk efficiency until a member interrupted with urgent news. Because of the stimulus bill, he insisted, private medical records were being shipped to federal bureaucrats. A woman said her doctor had told her the same thing. There were gasps of rage. Debate erupted. Could state medical authorities intervene? Should they call Congress? As the meeting ended, Carolyn Whaley, 76 years old, held up her copy of the Constitution. She carries it everywhere, she explained, and she was prepared to lay down her life to protect it from the likes of Mr. Obama! Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Local Tea Party groups are often loosely affiliated with one of several competing national Tea Party organizations. In the background, offering advice and organizational muscle, are an array of conservative lobbying groups, most notably Freedom Works. That's the one run by Dick Armey, the slimy bastard who used to be in the Congress. Further complicating matters, Tea Party events have become a magnet for other groups, including gun rights activists, anti-tax crusaders, libertarians, militia organizers, the birthers, Lyndon LaRouche supporters, and proponents of the sovereign states movement. It is a sprawling rebellion, but running through it is a narrative of impending tyranny. This narrative, a narrative permeates Tea Party websites. Doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo. It is a prominent theme of their favorite media outlets and commentators. And it connects to disparate issues that preoccupy many Tea Party supporters, from the concern that the community organization ACORN is stealing elections to the belief that Mr. Obama is trying to steal the internet and restrict gun ownership. WorldNetDaily.com. A bastard stepchild of Adolf Hitler. Trumpets exclusives reporting that the army is seeking resettlement specialists. On ResistNet.com, bloggers warn that Mr. Obama is trying to convert Interpol, the International Police Organization, into his personal police force. They call on fellow patriots to grab your guns. The Negro is going to get us all.
Are you burdened?
Crazy. But I want to go back to this big story in the New York Times today about these just absolute zombies, these brain dead right wingers who are being vacuumed up like so many cockroaches by these really, really dangerous right wing organizations, like Glenn Beck's 912 or whatever the hell it is. Beck is a psychopath. He really, really is. And I mention that again because of how many times his name was mentioned by these miserable teabaggers in the New York Times article today. Anyway, Beck frequently on his radio and television show, he echoes the patriot rhetoric. You know, the patriot, the gun crazy people, so-called patriots. That's a word, patriot, is a word that these right-wing vermin have utterly destroyed. They're a bunch of jackleg cowards. They've had ample opportunity to lead their goddamn revolution, but they're a bunch of beer-bellied bastards who run around in the woods in various states. They don't have the courage God gave a piss ant. They really don't. I'm sick of them. Patriot my left foot. These are beer gut thugs just like Beck is, that are just, I don't know, they're living out some little boy fantasy. I got a gun! Woohoo! I can shoot you! I can shoot you! I can shoot you! Beck frequently echoes patriot rhetoric, discussing the possible arrival of a new world order. That's something, see, that George Herbert Walker Bush talked about pre-Clinton. But these dumb bastards don't know. They don't know that. They don't understand that. They have no idea. Anyway, Beck argues that Mr. Obama is using a strategy of manufactured crisis to destroy the economy and pave the way for dictatorship. Beck is a goddamn psychopath. For 8 years, Dick Cheney and George W. Bush used a strategy of manufactured crisis to destroy the economy and pave the way for dictatorship. Where was this obese turd eater then? Where were you, Beck? You foul piece of human waste? Where were you? You rich, wealthy, cowardly punk? God! You know, Hannity must be just, I don't know, Hannity must go home and say to his wife, Jill, and I was supposed to be number one, Jill. I hate this goddamn Beck. He's taking over everything. Nobody quotes me anymore. I'm not in the New York Times. It's all Beck, Beck, Beck. Rough, huh, Sean? You just couldn't out crazy a real professional. You just couldn't. You couldn't do it. Ah, even though you're trying now, you loosey-goosey parrot, you. You couldn't out-crazy a real crazy man. Anyway, the New World Order and paving the way for dictatorship. Yeah, that's what Obama's all about. Yes, indeed. At recent Tea Party events around the country, these concerns surfaced repeatedly in New Mexico. Mary Johnson, recording secretary of the Las Cruces Tea Party Steering Committee. What? The recording secretary of the Las Cruces Tea Party Steering Committee? Sounds like a PTA group, doesn't it? I'm the recording secretary. She described why she fears the government. Doon, doon, doon. She pointed out how much easier it is since September 11th for the government to tap telephones and scour email, bank accounts, and library records. Miss Johnson said 20 years ago that would have been a paranoid statement. It's not anymore. Mrs. Johnson? Where were you on September 12th? Glenn Beck has a movement called the September 12th Movement, and that's when we were all together. Where were you when the USA Patriot Act was signed, you crazy, hypocritical dork? They're looking at my library records. Let me tell you something, Miss Johnson. Nobody cares whether you live or die. It really doesn't matter to anybody. You may be the recording secretary of the Las Cruces Tea Party Steering Committee, but really, really, beyond that, Mrs. Mary Johnson, nobody cares! In Texas, Toby Marie Walker, notice how many of these are women, isn't it? Toby Marie Walker, president of the Waco Tea Party. Waco! Woo! Stood on a stage before several thousand people, ticking off the institutions she no longer trusts. The federal government, Wall Street, both the major political parties. She said, as she choked back tears and the crowd urged her on with shouts of, "Go, Toby!" She said, quote, "Many of us don't believe they have our best interests at heart." Where were you? Where were you, Toby, in 2000, on December 12th, 2000, when your right to elect a president was utterly and absolutely destroyed? Where were you, Toby, when the Supreme Court ruled that a piece of goddamn paper filed someplace in the Cayman Islands has the same rights as you do? Oh, but there's a Negro in the White House! As it happened in the inland Northwest, with Friends for Liberty, the fear of Washington and the disgust for both parties is producing new coalitions of Tea Party supporters and groups affiliated with the Patriot Movement. In Indiana, for example, a group called the Defenders of Liberty. Defenders of Liberty is helping organize meetups with Tea Party groups and more than 50 Patriot organizations. The Ohio Freedom Alliance, meanwhile, is bringing together Tea Party supporters, Ohio sovereignty advocates, and members of the Constitution and Libertarian parties. Woohoo! Ohio sovereignty advocates. Yeah! Go ahead, Ohio! Break free! The Alliance is also helping to organize 5 Liberty Conferences in March, each featuring Richard Mack, the same speaker invited to address Friends for Liberty. Brum-boo! at a Tea Party protest in Las Vegas. Joe Heck, a Republican running for Congress, blamed both the Democratic and Republican parties for moving the country toward socialistic tyranny. Let me digress. How can these sons of bitches be so nuts, so 180 degrees, socialistic tyranny, you poor brain-dead bastards? The corporatists, the fascists, are just appreciating you so much. You are doing the heavy lifting for them. How can you be this? How? That's right. Most of you have a high school education or less. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Most of you are over the age of 55. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Most of you are Glenn Beck listeners. There's a lot wrong with that, you morons! Politicians courting the Tea Party movement are also alluding to patriot dogma. In Texas, Governor Rick Perry, a Republican seeking re-election, threw his support behind the state sovereignty movement. Indiana, Richard Boehner, a Republican Senate candidate, told Tea Party supporters what he would do if the 2010 elections did not produce results to his liking. Here's what he said, quote, I'm cleaning my guns and getting ready for the big show, and I'm serious about that, and I'll bet you are too, end quote. Jesus, God. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Greg Pallas is right. It's an armed madhouse. Past the hour. Man. It's really weird, isn't it? I mean, isn't it weird? It's weird. Yes, Mike, it's weird. Weird. Michael in Roswell writes, a couple of hypotheses about the Tea Partiers I had today, to wit. If one dips into the stuff just a bit, at the back end of it is not Sarah Palin, but Alex Jones. Jones has been on this tear of his ever since Waco, which conveniently was perpetrated by liberal Democrats. And the killings by the FBI and the Ruby Ridge incident just cemented it for him. Virtually everything mentioned by the Tea Partiers, including that Democrats are coming to take your guns, is recycled InfoWars craziness that goes back to the days of David Koresh. These people have been marinating in the stew of disinformation created by Jones for now nearly two decades. And the World Wide Web of conspiracy has helped Jones' crackpot ideas spread virally. Bush and his cohort were given a pass because they were conservative Republicans and they were fighting the terrorists. Still looming in the background, completely dissociated psychologically from the Bushies, was the specter of a big government that is out of control and determined to trample on the citizens. It's a neat trick for 8 years to separate big government from the people running it. But Jones was able to do it. So when Halliburton KBR got a no-bid contract for a new round of detention centers that were likely just a boondoggle or a worse, were just advanced work in a plan to go after undocumented workers, those facilities became, via Jones's InfoWars, internment camps for people protecting their Second Amendment rights. And he was able to always hearken back to Waco as proof. These people love Palin because she's very good at playing the victim. And that's a scab that Republicans and Christians and gun nuts have been picking at for decades. But this fringe looniness that manifests itself as faux patriotism, that's something qualitatively different, I think, because Jones over the years has redefined and transformed that perception of victimization into feelings of actual oppression. And that's where, though mostly unspoken, race figures into this phenomenon. Obama,
a black man,
is now the figurehead of that government, and he's become to these nutballs a symbol of just how perverted government has become. Because to their minds, if the Democrats have managed to elevate the previously oppressed black man to this pinnacle, achieve such an inversion of normality by putting a black man in charge of all the whites, then ipso facto the oppression of the white man by that perverted government must be in progress. That's probably what accounts for the very quick adoption of the themes of totalitarianism one is seeing in Tea Party slogans and posters. Set aside for the moment the fact that these people are being steered toward that view by reactionary fat cap money and GOP operatives, and consider the speed with which it happened. Waco pushed Timothy McVeigh over the edge. And Waco is still an undercurrent in this movement. My concern at the moment is that the reactionary fat cats behind the Tea Partiers are using them to foment a new Waco, some new civil insurrection that will create enough chaos for them to use for political advantage. What that might be, or where it might occur, I don't have any good guesses. But I see it as a definite possibility. Cheers, Mike. Michael Roswell, New Mexico. Yeah, we've mentioned this before, and of course Michael just put it very succinctly, but is it still possible to be real in this country about anything where it concerns race? That's the motivating factor. That's what has brought all this together so rapidly. We had 8 years of utter destruction, starting with December 12th, 2000. When the Supreme Court said, that's enough, no more counting, he's president. God damn you, patriots. God damn you, right-wingers. God damn you. You had your chance for 8 years, you cowardly little skunks. And you sat back running around in your little camo outfits. The fact that Barack Obama is not Lily White is driving these people crazy. Michael's right. That's all this is. That's why the organizing principle was so rapid. And Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and O'Reilly have just beat it to death. You're going to let a black man lead this country? You're going to let a Negro? He's not even American. Oh, come on. Get real. You know that's what this is about.
Rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
madhouse indeed. Whose turn was that originally? I think it was Vonnegut's turn, right? Phone number here is 877-996-2556 if you want to play. If you're a right winger, go to hell. Don't call my program. I don't want to hear from you. 877-996-2556. According to Haaretz, Israeli newspaper, the White House, that would be the Barack Obama administration, that would be Barack Obama, and through his spokesperson, Robert Gibbs. White House, Haaretz reports, White House refuses to rule out a military option on Iran. the lead sentence by Barak Ravid Haaretz correspondent from Washington. The White House on Tuesday would not rule out any options, including the military option for dealing with Iran's nuclear ambitions. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs said, quote, I wouldn't rule out anything, end quote. He said Iran's rejection of every attempt by the Obama administration for diplomatic engagement is proof that its nuclear program is, quote, not of the means and type that they have tried to convince others that it's for, end quote. Sort of a tortured sentence, isn't it? But, Iran's rejection of every attempt by the Obama administration for diplomatic engagement. What about all the attempts? Oh, I don't know. Here, let's have a half-ass example of the reverse. All the attempts by the Cuban government for diplomatic engagement with the United States has been disdained, which is proof that the United... Well, I got lost there. Oh, well. Israel also continues to avoid ruling out a strike on Iran. Israel's ambassador to the UN, Gabriela Shalev, said in Washington on Tuesday, quote, it's one of the bad options. We don't think it's as bad as Iran having nuclear weapons. It's one of the options, and all the options are on the table, end quote. And she added, quote, for us, it's an existential threat. Iran is training and equipping Hezbollah and Hamas. They're not even smuggling weapons. They're just transferring them, end quote. Really? And then the psychopath that runs Iran, I'm sorry, but he is. He really is. He's a crazy man. There's a way to build up your nuclear reactors if you want nuclear power without pissing in the eyes of the two countries that could devour you and are just waiting for a chance to do it. Come on, Ahmadinejad. Are you this stupid? Yes, you certainly are. But my God, why would you say something like this? Quote, of course, if somebody acts against Iran, our response will definitely be firm enough to make them regretful. Ahmadinejad told a televised news conference. Oh, man. So the White House, the Barack Obama administration, that means Barack Obama and his corporate advisors and generals and Robert Gibbs and everybody, they have not ruled out force. Well, okay. You want to talk? Carl's in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina.
How you doing, Mike?
All right, how are you?
I was just trying, my head just bangs against us. What are these teabaggers and these patriots and all that? I cannot get a grip at all on where they're coming from. I'm baffled by the ignorance. I mean, it's just blatant ignorance. I mean, they throw out stuff and they'll suck it up I've read and done, looked at everything I can see on these people and it's pure racism and it's just pure, it's just a hatred. I think that they're being manipulated by all the, you know, all your industrial. And I'm really baffled. I get about tired of hearing it. I wish the progressives could get a movement as strong as these nutmegs have, because we're getting sucked up in this and we're not getting anything from the Democratic Party or anything. We're lost. We're a lost cause, and I'm so sad because of that. I mean, our social justice is gone. We will never get a health bill. We'll never get anything. We'll never rein the deficit in. People don't even want to talk about the war in Iraq anymore. That's like it's not costing us anything. Nobody's getting killed anymore. I mean, that's just off the table. I mean, I wish, you know, and I think you're singing to the choir. I love to hear you, but, you know, you're just singing to the choir, buddy, because nobody's listening anymore. They just, you know, it's sad, very sad. But just keep on getting on, man. It's like someday they'll wake up. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I hear you. Carl, thank you, man. I appreciate you checking in. Always do. Thanks. I understand what you mean about preaching to the choir, although when I'm on this radio program, like I said, I have a image of, you know, 36 people sitting around a literal campfire someplace out in the woods, and we're just all going crazy and talking about the insanity. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I've said this before. Somebody said, "Well, don't you have any hope?" Yeah, I have hope, but no longer any hope in our political system. That is gone. It's down to zero. It's whatever comes below zero. It's in a minus configuration. Hope for our political system, because it has been smashed and broken and shattered. It's a joke. It's horrific, a horrific joke. I don't mean a joke. Ha ha ha! Let's all be funny and happy. It's a joke on us. The framers warned us about this. As imperfect as what they put together was at the beginning, they warned us. They warned us specifically against corporate power. Way back then, 230 years ago, they were warning against it. But they also warned against political parties. And they also warned against the idea that the country would become so corrupt that we would destroy what they were giving us. I think they understood on some level, even though they were practicing genocide, they were practicing slavery. I understand that. But I think on some level, they understood that it couldn't continue. Of course, it did continue, didn't it? So maybe what we're experiencing here is payback for stealing something that wasn't ours. This is why the Israelis are going to suffer forever, because they are doing the same thing that the Europeans who came here did here. They stole it. It wasn't theirs. It wasn't theirs to take, the white Europeans that came here. And then to drag black people. I just got an email from some half-wit who said, "I heard you use the word Negro in a very disparaging way. I'm going to call management." Hey, kiss my ass, okay? You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Go away, go away, go away! Oh. Where was I? I don't know. Hope. Yeah, I have hope, but it's not with this political system. The only hope I have left, and it's valid and it's real, and it's what I have, you know, in case you're interested. I don't know what your hope is. I'd love to hear it, whatever your hope is. But mine is that some event will occur that will have the effect of causing people to wake up. Now, I don't know what that would be. I said one time it could be a scientific event. It could be the discovery that there is, in fact, somebody comes up with a system of defeating all cancers. That would be, you know, through a simple process of some sort of genetic manipulation in vitro, and then put inside a human being, and the cancer is immediately dissolved. Or through some viral discovery that there's a virus that eats cancer cells. No matter where that virus is, it goes inside the cancer cells and devours it. And then the body's immune system clears out the virus. You know, something like that. Or the discovery that through a simple process, ocean water could be turned into almost pure energy. Or the discovery that... No, a meteorite heading this way, the size of the one that did away with the dinosaurs, that wouldn't be a unifying force at all. That would be one that would cause people to start eating each other. So, you know, that's my hope, that some event that we're not aware of. Now, I know the Christians are hoping that they can kill enough people, or enough people will die anyway, so that this huge pile of corpses will bring back the Messiah, their Messiah. No, that's not it either. I got news for you folks. that's just not going to happen. So that's where my hope is. As far as hope in the political system, no, absolutely not. I mean, why would anyone have hope in this political system? It is smashed, broken, corrupted, useless, worse than useless.
When is your mission complete? When the whole world's insane, can you tell me now? Tell me, please. I am listening.
Before the hour, okay. This is the Malloy Show. Back to your phone calls. Tim is in Detroit listening on XM. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Mike. I wanted to talk about the nuclear process. You know, there's this right-wing meme out there. It's been out there for years that less greenhouse gassing is caused by nuclear processing than by coal and oil process. But that's not true. If you follow the cycle all the way from the mining of uranium, and it's a very exploitative process, by the way. It often occurs in a lot of countries where there's a lot of poverty. And if you follow that cycle from there right up to the process of the uranium, mm-hmm. the plant that actually produces more greenhouse gassing than does even coal and oil. Now, I'm not at all a big fan at all of oil and, coal and oil, but you're certainly not going to get rid of global warming by you know, building more nuclear plants. That's a terrible idea, and it's what pay to the human species if we go down that road too. You know?
Yeah, what you say obviously is true, and in addition, let's not forget the byproduct of the produced by nuclear reactors is plutonium, and the plutonium has to go someplace. And it is, it's my understanding, I'm not a nuclear engineer by any means, but it's my understanding it's one of the, if not the, most toxic substance ever created by humans, is plutonium. And it is not a natural, it doesn't occur naturally in nature, is my understanding.
It happened in 1993, I think, on the periodic table. Yeah, it was actually produced in nuclear process back in the
40s. Yeah, it's a byproduct of something that we're doing to uranium, you know, eventually. I don't know. I'm probably going to get a flood of emails now from people who understand this a lot better than I and say, no, you're crazier than hell. But that's my understanding, and it works for me. So we have tons of this stuff. Plutonium. Tons of radioactive waste that nobody knows what to do with. We have nuclear reactors that are ready to fall apart, that have these containment areas where we have spent nuclear rods that are sitting in water. And the containment pools are ready to crack open. I mean, nuclear power plants have a life expectancy max of about 30, 35 years. It's also my understanding. So what happens? We've got two or three nuclear power plants right now. Yankee Nuclear Power Plant, which is in the Northeast, that is about ready, to go, you'll excuse me for saying this, to go nuclear. It's ready to fall apart.
Well, I got to say,
which will immediately put about 35 million people at risk of their lives.
Oh, it's very dangerous.
It's unbelievable. Why not take the $8.5 billion and focus it on the developing of oh, I don't know, the cold fusion or oh my God, wind power, solar power, geothermal power. Let's use gravitational waves. Let's use tectonic plate movements. Something! But nobody's willing to do this, you see. So now, Obama fulfilling this dream of Cheney and Bush. Nobody on Wall Street wants anything to do with this industry. They won't
go for the energy bill. When was it, 05 or something?
Yeah, So nobody, you know, there's no investment money. You know, the smart money, the corporates, the Nazis, they look at this and they go, no, I don't think so. Let's stick with conventional war or something like that. But no, not this. So Obama takes money that was never appropriated, but somehow he's coming up with another $8.5 billion to give to this industry. And it's what Cheney and Bush set up. And they were waiting for somebody like Obama to come along and say, oh, here's the money. I mean, this is madness. This is just madness.
Well, what I'm hoping for in the building of these plants, if it actually occurs, there'll be such a massive protest like there was in the 70s, you know, with the Three Mile Island plant in Pennsylvania.
Nobody's going to protest anymore, Tim.
You don't think so?
No. I was part of that movement back in 78, 79. Oh, my God. You know, I walked the roads over here, Barnwell, South Carolina, with what's her name? The Australian.
The Grand Dame of the...
The pediatrician. I'm having another.
Reagan had Alzheimer's. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I'm having another one of these horrible senior moments. It'll come to me probably during the break.
I don't remember the name either. Yeah, but there's gotta be a pushback eventually. I just can't believe the American people will let even this go by. I mean, this stuff will kill generation after generation for.
Yeah.
Billions of years.
But nobody cares anymore, Tim. Tim, thanks. I got to move on. I appreciate your call. Nobody cares anymore. And mainly because they are pumped every single day, pumped by right-wing crazy people. Beck, this goddamn psychopath, and Limbaugh, and Hannity, and O'Reilly, and the rest of them on and on. There's a whole list of these freaks. They go on and on and on. That's who has America's ear, because they have saturated the airwaves because it's so popular. Oh, that's why a dumbass like you don't succeed, Malloy. You're just not popular. You got to be popular. You got to be with the cool kids. You're not with the cool kids. No, they're not going to listen, Tim. There's not going to be any protests. There's not going to be any anything.
Oh, there he goes, being negative again.
No, not negative. Realistic? Will you buy that? All right, we got a break here. We'll come back after the top of the hour. If you're on hold, stick around. Love to hear what you got to say. And if you're holding on while the phone rings, we'll get to it in a moment. Be patient. How you feeling? You okay? You doing all right tonight? Listen to the Malloy Show. Try this during the break. I'll see you on the other side. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Legacy Hour. Thanks for everybody's help. Helen Caldicott. That's what I was trying to think of. The Australian pediatrician, anti-nuke activist for four decades now, doing everything that she possibly could during the late 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And the result of her desperate efforts to warn people about the dangers of nuclear energy. Well, one of the results is Barack Obama today decided to guarantee to the Southern Company, the worst polluter in the United States, as many billions as they want to build two nuclear power plants here in Georgia that have design flaws that are so serious, other countries won't even allow them to be constructed. So, all that in response to the idea, I think it was Tim in Detroit, that, you know, people maybe this, or no, it wasn't Tim in Detroit, it was North Carolina, I guess. More confusion. Anyway, that people, that the anti-nuke movement might be reactivated. The Conk Alliance, the Clamshell Alliance, the all the anti-nuke groups, especially here in the South, that tried to warn people back in the 70s and 80s that the dangers. I can remember when I was in, I guess, high school. Maybe elementary school. I think it was high school. When we were being told that nuclear reactors, you know, the Atoms for Peace program, I think is what it was called. It was during the Eisenhower administration, or I don't know, Atoms for Peace. After atoms had been used to annihilate several hundred thousand people in Japan. So we had to have a differentiating phrase, meme. And it was Atoms for Peace. And one of the Atoms for Peace plans was nuclear power generators. And I can remember being told through advertising campaigns on, yes, television, and through literature that was handed out in the schools that we used to, the teachers would use as study material for us. So it must have been elementary school. I don't think any of our high school teachers would have done this. But it talked about how the energy produced, the electricity produced by nuclear power, would be so cheap that there would be no reason to even meter it. So cheap. Yes, this is what we were told. And then came about the all-electric house. Ta-da! I bought one of those. I bought my first house when I was 21. And it was an all-electric house. Woo-hoo! Everything inside it was electricity. The heating, the ovens, the stoves, the air conditioning, all of it. It was all electric. All-electric house. Everything. And it never got so cheap as it didn't need to be metered. But then again, I don't know if it was run by a nuclear power plant built just north of Toledo, Ohio, or not. Who knows? The Fermi nuclear power plant, is that what it's called? And it's had several accidents. I don't even know if it's running right now. I think there's two of them, Fermi 1 and Fermi 2. I don't know. I don't live there anymore. But anyway, I digress. Nuclear power, you see, back in the 50s, when it was being, the nuclear power industry was being born, and the Atoms for Peace program, and oh my, a glorious day. Again, it reminds me of those old Soviet posters, you know, with the three workers gazing off into the faraway place with their muscled arms. And well, that's what the nuclear electricity industry wanted everybody to believe in this country back in the 50s. And we did. We believed. Oh, God, look at this. Oh, my God. Aren't you glad to be alive today? What's next? Color TV? No, they'll never get to that. I heard they have it someplace. Nah, no such thing as color. What are you talking about? Color TV. Oh, my God. All the innovations back then were in Dick Tracy comic strips. You know, the TV, two-way wrist radio, the two-way wrist TV. Oh, my God. But I digress from the digression. So to hell with this. Let's go back to the phone calls. Janice is in Long Beach, California. Let's see on KTLK. Hey, Janice.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Thank you for sanity. I mean, you and Kathy. I'm like, anyway, I'm sure you hear that all the time. And there are so many of us out here listening. Trust me, this is the first time I've ever gotten through in years. But unfortunately, I can't even afford to get yourself a podcast.
Well, the times are rough right now. Don't worry about it, Janice.
Anyway, I just where to begin? The nuclear thing is insane. And don't forget, we've also heard Obama hyping, quote, clean coal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just nauseating, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
But really what prompted me to call was a minute ago you fizzed off the filthy power stuff. But, you know, like when you said Ahmadinejad is an insane man, I don't think he's that crazy. I just think, I don't know, tell me what you think of it. I think when Bush called the, you know, axis of evil,
mm-hmm.
the only ones that we didn't attack was North Korea because they had a nuclear weapon. Mm-hmm. And it's at the time I thought, God, if I was Iran, I'd be getting me a nuclear weapon as soon as possible.
Oh, sure.
So whether they have one or not, you know, he's probably spouting off that they do. Out of terror of us, you know.
Well, that was the basis for the so-called Cold War that went on for the better part of almost six decades. Was the fact that if you have nuclear weapons, you're safe because the other people have nuclear weapons wouldn't dare use them because if they use their nuclear weapons, you could launch your nuclear weapons and everybody falls down dead. So
yeah.
this is a policy that became the centerpiece of U.S. foreign policy for my entire life. This is it. Mutual assured destruction. And you take some little tin pot idiot like Ahmadinejad. Maybe he's not so tin pot. Maybe he is interested in the survival of him and his country, his own survival and that of his country. And he knows that he's got two or three countries aiming nukes at him. So what's he going to do? Just sit there and go, oh, please don't fire, boys. Please don't fire. You know, he may be insane. I certainly wouldn't want him as a next door neighbor. But what the hell is he supposed to do? Everybody else that has power has nuclear weapons and the basis of our foreign policy for I'm repeating myself. So Ahmadinejad takes a look at that and says, well, I guess the only people who are safe are the people who have nuclear bombs. Let's get one or two or 20.
And even though they've signed a nuclear treaty, whatever the agreements,
mm-hmm.
such as they are, and Israel hasn't. And
the non-proliferation treaty agreement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And Israel hasn't, and they're loaded up with our nuclear weapon. You know, I think we're doing all the stirring up that we can do right now. I mean, our government mm-hmm. over there to try and vilify these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nothing better for these neocons and nuts than another war, you know?
I hear you. I hear you. All right. Well, listen, Janice, thanks. Call again, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care. We have a break, and when we come back, we'll take more of your calls. The too cheap to meter propaganda came from Louis Strauss, the first head of the Atomic Energy Commission. He was a Wall Street investment banker, not a scientist or an engineer. He didn't know blank about nuclear physics or nuclear power generation. That's from Michael in Roswell. Thank you, Michael. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The light, he says, at the end of the tunnel was nothing but a burglar's tone. They chained my mind to an endless tune when they took my only son from me. I know it's true, oh so true, 'cause I saw it on TV. I know it's true, oh so true.
it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Al is in Macon, Georgia, listening on Sirius. Hey, Al.
How are you tonight, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's fine.
Good, good.
First time caller, long time listener.
Well, welcome aboard.
And used to listen to you years, well, several years ago when you were on, America on 1220?
Yeah.
And they took that away from you, and then finally we got you on Sirius, so. The only thing I can get you on in Georgia.
I hear that. Well, the internet.
Yeah, I know that. But for the radio station.
Yeah.
What I was wanting to, I assume you read, I don't know if you read it before, Lowdown from Tide Tower? Jim Hightower out of Texas?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I don't subscribe. I had a subscription to what he, his newsletter, but I haven't been getting it lately. But every once in a while, somebody will send me the latest thing that he puts out on the web.
Okay, we just got the new one today, and I was reading it. He's talking about the corporate power, how they're, and a real interesting article on a couple of brothers named, they call it Coke.
Yeah. I'm familiar with them.
You're familiar with them?
Yeah, they're the devils behind all this anti-Obama stuff, all the destruction of the environment stuff. They're wealthy.
Teabaggers.
Yeah, they're the money behind the teabaggers. And they do it, and my understanding, Al, they do this for sport. They don't give a damn one way or the other. They're so wealthy. They made it off oil, of course.
And well, they inherited it.
Yeah, right. Well, but I mean the original, the original family fortune. But they just don't care. This is fun to them to see how much hell they can cause, how much trouble they can make, and it's sport manipulating people the way they do. It's pretty weird. And it's my understanding that they're Bible believing church going Christians too. They're doing the Lord's work.
Now we get talking about the teabaggers, a while ago I listened to you and I got to laughing. My son lives in Europe, and he was talking to a gentleman on a plane over there, waiting at the airport, and he's actually from Greece. And he'd lived in the United States for 30 years, and he'd went back to Greece to live, and he'd come back to visit the daughter, and he couldn't believe how much the United States had went down. Mm-hmm. Had 5 years he'd been back in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the education of the people.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the Americans just don't know what's going on. And it's just sad.
It is. It is.
And they're destroying the public school system. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get disgusted like you do. I get very discouraged. And I don't know whether I can't. See myself not voting because I can't stand for see the Republicans destroy Social Security and that since I'm on it. So,
you know, the irony too, Al, is so many of the people who are out there screaming about the government are fools that are saying they don't want the government touching their Social Security. And the Medicare and I just how can people be this stupid? There is another move afoot to privatize Social Security.
Yeah, I've read that.
Yeah, and I guess I won't get to it till tomorrow night. But I don't know what these people are thinking. These teabaggers. What are they using for brains, Al? Macaroni and cheese. I mean, what the hell is going on here? I mean, it's one thing to not be very educated. Hell, I'm not very educated. That's why I listen to Tom Hartman sometimes, so I can figure out how smart people talk and think. But it's something else again to be just stone ignorant and proud of it. To that willful ignorance is what I don't get. I don't understand how people can walk through life with that kind of willful ignorance. There's no excuse for that, but there they are. There they are.
Well, I traveled down here for several years. I'm originally from the Midwest, but I traveled down here for several years, and I never could figure the people out. But I had an account one just right before I retired that we were talking about Bush, and of course he was a strong Republican, and he said, I said, why don't you get this? Don't you even get upset with some, this? I explained two or three things, And he said, oh, no, he said, he's still a good Republican, Like, he could destroy the country as long as he's a good Republican.
Good Republican,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Or the one I used to hear a lot up here in the North Georgia mountains was, well, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but he's a good Christian man. You know, like, what? Oh, well. All right. Well, listen, Al, thanks for checking in. Call once in a while. I'd love to hear from folks here in Georgia. I very seldom get to hear from anybody in Georgia, so stay in touch, all right?
Okay, will do.
And I sure do miss the Allman Brothers. I miss Capricorn. I miss going down to Macon and going to concerts and seeing the Allman Brothers and all the bands that came out of Capricorn. Were you there in those days?
No,
Oh, never mind.
But I had they've got a museum on them down there now. Yeah. The house they used to be in, down there on
Pineville.
Yeah.
They do indeed. Thanks, Al.
Okay.
All right,
good
sir. Good night.
Give him bottles of lies, and maybe he'll find his place in heaven, because he might just die.
Here's Mike Malloy.
Money's good. It's about 25 before the hour. You know, we're constantly reminded of who the people are who have the real power in media. You know, the Becks and Hannitys and Limbaughs and O'Reillys and so on and so forth. And it just raises the question, if they do have the real power, why are they misusing it the way they are? Why are they using that power to divide us, separate us, cause us to want to kill each other? And I brought this up a couple of months ago and I said, the answer is very obvious. These son of a bitches do this for sport. This is fun. Producing another Timothy McVeigh, causing one to leap up out of the woodwork and go kill 160 people is what they are hoping for. Glenn Beck would like nothing more than to have somebody assassinate Barack Obama and then, you know, scream Beck's name as he pulled the trigger. This is what they're doing. These guys do have power. They really do. Beck, Limbaugh, I mean, it's a phony kind of power. Very diaphanous power. It really is the power of a stream of electrons, but it's power nonetheless, because there's so many people who see these spokespersons of the neo-Nazi right as being, I don't know, as having mystical, magical power or something. They do. I mean, they do see that. See these right-wing talk show host people that way. In reality, they are nothing. Just absolutely nothing. If he had not spent 20 years as a drug-addled blowhard on radio with a bunch of brain-dead followers, Rush Limbaugh would be what? What would he be doing? At this point, he would probably, I don't know, he'd probably be dead from bad street drugs, or he would be a salesman doing something, I don't know, selling discount tires someplace. But that's not the case. Radio has made these people. And only insofar as the Fairness Doctrine was destroyed, consolidation was allowed. And as a result, you have these media superstars. So the question is, and I think everybody asks this question, why are they not using this immense power, this unbelievable power? You know, the myth, it's not true, but the myth is that Limbaugh reaches 20 million or 18 million or 15 million people a week. Okay, if that's the case, why not use it for something good? Why not use it to heal this busted planet? Why not use it to try to bring people together? Oh, I know, I sound like Rodney King now, right? But I just wonder that all the time. They make millions and millions and millions of dollars preaching hatred and suspicion and lies and deceit and dishonor and unethical behavior and immorality. My God! Why do they get paid millions of dollars to do that? And the answer is very simple, because they work within a system that is utterly and absolutely corrupt. The political system, the economic system, the religious system, all of these underpinnings that we normally find in society in this country have been utterly and absolutely corrupted and broken and just made into, I don't know, made into sharpened objects that they can drive into the heart of this country and then twist. That's evil. I've said before, I don't believe in intrinsic evil or goodness. I really don't, because it's on the basis of that nonsense that religions are born. even though religions create evil. But I do believe that there are actions or activities that people can get involved in, like genocide or slavery or mass murder in an act of war using nuclear weapons against civilian population, torturing an individual. These are acts of evil, but they're strictly secular. They're strictly in the here and now. They have nothing to do with some religious definition of good or evil. Religious definitions of good or evil, if you start to believe them, they will drive you mad. They will make you completely insane. But to see these people who have such immense power in this country through the media using that power strictly for acts of evil, for sport, son of a bitch, don't people like Beck and Hannity and the rest of these overfed creeps, isn't there something else they could do? Can't they go get laid? Can't they join the military? Can't they go gamble or smoke until they keel over dead from lung cancer? Can't they do something? Eat more pork or hamburgers or something? Why not do something else rather than destroy the country that's feeding them? That's one of the issues to me that are just unexplainable, or is just unexplainable. To destroy people's minds for sport. What's up with that? Wouldn't that be a good definition of fascism? To just do it because you can. Man. Email here from Roger, who writes, Mike, in addition to all the stuff you brought up regarding nuke power plants that you started the show with, I have a few more observations. One, with all the fossil fuel that it takes to make the cement to build the plant and all the fossil fuel that it would take to decommission it down the road, which has never been done yet, how long will it take to generate enough electricity to make up for the electricity that could be made with that fuel? Two, in all the thousands of tons of ore that have to be mined to get the enriched uranium, how much fossil fuel is consumed in this entire process? Three, if nuke plants are such a good idea, how come free trade or entrepreneurship or capitalism or whatever, the get the government out of the free market crap folks want to bring up, can't get the project done, including the fact that insurance companies won't cover the plant or any potential harm to the folks that live in the area. And four, in the research I've been able to put together, which doesn't include all these problems, the time is 18 plus years for a plant that has a lifespan of 20 years and leaves us with some leftovers that need to be taken care of for 500,000 years. This nuke stuff is droppings. You thought I was going to say it, didn't you? Almost. I don't know why I can't say that word on the air. That is ridiculous. Thousands of tons of ore that have to be mined. Yeah, you know, to declare that a nuclear power plant is pollution neutral or is such a thick lie. It's a wonder that it travels through the airwaves. Tom in Joshua Tree, California writes, Mike, I was wondering what it would look like if Obama went into a psychotherapist's office and said, quote, now's not the time to look backward, but forward into the future, end quote. I ask this because what is not said about the teabaggers, the birthers, the Republicans and Democrats, the pro-nuclear lobby, the pro-war lobby, the anti-human and civil rights lobby, the American Holocaust deniers, gun writers, anti-abortioners, and nearly everything that comes out of the Old South, plus those five Supreme Court justices who took away the rights of the American citizen and gave them to corporations, is that they are all Christians. Forward-looking Christians. Why are they winning? Because all it takes is a pull of a trigger, the spill of plutonium, and the pen of treason to take away and destroy what has taken lifetimes, generations to build up. Victory to these creatures is simply the destruction of the secular state. A secular state of a free and educated citizenry is anathema to their delusions, to their identities, to the core of their theocratic dependency. They don't need plans or responsibility or accountability, because once the secular state has been toppled, their Messiah will come and reward them for all their pious murder, genocide, ecocide, financial chaos, and societal destruction. Without Armageddon, their entire religion is nothing but a poorly written comic book. Unless this subconscious drive is exposed on a national scale, it will continue to kill us all. Consider, 70% of Americans go to church, and 70% of Americans believe that torture is as good as it is necessary to be free. And that's the trouble I have with letting them have it all, because when they get it all, it's all over for everyone. It's my dilemma, too. What to do? Tom.
Now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
She writes, friend of ours worked on the construction of the French River nuke plant in Louisiana. At least some, maybe all, of the construction was non-union, as this friend didn't belong to a union. He was a welder. He said that every weld had to be x-rayed twice to make sure it was good. Someone in supervision was supposed to sign papers verifying that the welds had been checked and double-checked. Our friend said that, to his knowledge, this never happened. So either the x-rays were done late, or they were never done, or the papers were falsified. Now, this is pure hearsay from a friend, but feeling secure? Me neither. Captain Mary in Memphis. Karen is in Ventura, California, listening online. Hey, Karen.
Yes, I'm here. Hi. And I know that our time is short here. I do want to
Wait a minute. Do you mean on Earth or on this radio program?
Well, on your show.
Oh, okay.
Maybe the other way, too. But I do want to say that I listen to your show regularly. I am a podcast subscriber long before you did the podcast, and I will continue to listen to your show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I need the truth. It is brutal sometimes, but I need the truth.
Yeah.
The reason I called was about the nuclear power plants that are going to be built in Burke, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And from what I've read, the benefits of people there will be 3,000 construction jobs as they build it,
mm-hmm.
850 permanent jobs mm-hmm. as they work in the plant, and power for 1.5 million people.
Mm-hmm.
I am wondering if the people in Burke, Georgia, will think that that's not worth the risk of having that in their community. And I'm wondering, do you think that people in Georgia will protest, as we did 36 years ago, against having that in their community?
Well, the answer to the first part is people in Georgia will be so grateful to have a job. You have to understand, there's Atlanta, and then there's Georgia. Atlanta has an unemployment rate of around 9.5% or 10%. Georgia has an unemployment rate, a real unemployment rate, around 20%. People will love the fact that a nuclear power plant is being built. It'll take 10 years to build it. So there's nobody... for the most part, anywhere in the country that thinks about 10 years down the road, especially when your mortgage is underwater and you don't have money to send your kid to school and or clothes, so this job, no, nobody's going to protest this. That's the second question. Who would protest it? There is no anti-nuke movement the way there was 35 years ago. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. People do not go out and I mean in numbers that are noticeable by media, and it's only through media coverage that other people can say, oh, look, they're protesting X, Y, or Z. What is X, Y, or Z? Oh, is that what it is? Okay, I'll join the protest. That doesn't happen anymore. Media in this country, primarily television, have declared that there shall be no coverage of this kind of stuff because it's all corporatist. It's all run by corporations. Now, this is where a lot of people listen to this program say, Jesus Christ, Malloy, you are so negative. No, that's not negative. That is just the way it is. That's just the way it is. So I live in Georgia. I've been here since 1970. And I will tell you right now, Karen, people will glory in this news. B, no one will protest.
Very sad, Mike. Very sorry.
I hear you loud and clear.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for checking in. And it's not just in Georgia that no one will protest. Now, when I say no one, I'm not talking about university activists, kids that young people, I shouldn't call them kids, young people that go to school on campuses near where these new power plants are going to be built. But the protest movement, it doesn't exist anymore. It really doesn't. I mean, occasionally. There will be protests around the G8 meetings or these economic meltdowns where the natural resources of the planet, usually in undeveloped countries, are being divvied up by the predatory bastards that run capitalism, global capitalism. There will be some protesting there. But the protest, the anti-nuke protests, the anti-war protests, the protests in favor of human rights, in favor of civil rights. I realize there's some pockets of people who still protest. I understand that. The gay rights movement can still put people in the streets to demand equal protection of the law. But these issues simply are, people don't get inspired anymore. Gay rights protests do, because it directly affects the people protesting. People who one would expect would get out and protest a nuclear power plant going up in their backyard are not going to do it because, A, they don't think it affects them negatively. It's a job. It's a paycheck. And besides, it's only these left-wing lying sons of bitches who tell us that nuclear power is bad. What the hell do they want? They don't want us to have a coal-fired plant. They don't want us to have oil-producing platforms in the Gulf of Mexico. What do these left-wing sons of bitches want? And that is a direct result of the propaganda, the lies, the deceit, the dishonor that Beck, Hannity, Bortz, Limbaugh, O'Reilly, Savage, the rest of these pigs have put out there daily, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain, without let up. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.